Blog Talk Radio.
Like a picture, the perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Check all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that.
Keeping us safe, carrying us for another opportunity to bring you this offering, God. This offering is only powerful if you receive it. So we're going to check our hands and hearts right now. Just make sure that they're clean. Make sure that they're pure. And we thank you, God, that we don't achieve pure hands and clean hearts by our own righteousness, by the work that you have done, the finished work. So our eyes are on that. Our focus is on that. We are performing for you. We're not trying to move anybody else's heart tonight. And I thank you, even as we said last night, I'm already yours, so I don't even have to perform in that sense. But there is something like a little kid going, Dad, look what I could do, that is just so necessary right now. And so take all restrictions off of us, all second guessing off of us, and just here's this offering, light the fire to it and let it reach you in a sweet and smelling way, all right? We thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. You're so good, Lord. You're so good to us. Thank you, God, for your favor upon us, for your life in us. Just take a moment. Come on, fill this room and just tell him thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, open your mouth right now just for a moment. Come on. Come on, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, yeah. Oh, be exalted, God, be exalted, God, yeah, yeah, yeah. Worthy, 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 worthy. Let everything loose. Lift up your hands as high as they can go. Come on. Take them up. Take them up. Take them up. This is a sign of surrender. God, whatever you're trying to do, whatever you want to accomplish tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God in the highest. Hey.
presence, God. It's like time stands still. Time stands still. Miracles happen in your presence, God. When you will, what you will, we will follow what you're doing, God.
Everybody should that it was in, be back in right now. And Sister Lorraine, are you able to hear?
Yes, I am.
All right, thank you. All right,
thank you.
All right. Sister Denise, Sister Mary, welcome back. I don't know, a keyboard fell and then the server just went down. So
I'm gonna have to go on mute.
Okay.
All right. I don't want to hit it.
Well, I hear you. Let me get us back to where we should, be. All right. So I want to welcome you guys to Spiritual Wellness. I am Brother Miles, and we are going to continue where we left off last week with the video. We were watching Hebrew, so-called Negro. We got about an hour and 9 minutes into the video, so I'm going to pick it back up there. With that being said, I first wanted to show us some pictures from the harvest that I did this past week, real quickly, and then we will jump into this. Up here. That's not the picture I wanted. Maybe they did not upload. 12:30. Yeah, that's the V. Okay. Let me see if I can turn this. Should be able to turn it. Okay, are you guys able to see that?
Yes.
Okay, let me, play with this a little bit. All right, so this is a picture of the wellness mix. Okay, let me get another one, a different picture. These aren't labeled, so I don't know what I'm getting. Okay, this is a wellness mix without the label on it. Side up. Okay, so the wellness mix, and this is kind of stuffed in to these and Shalom, Sister Lori, give us a hot second. We had some technical difficulties, but we're looking at a couple of pictures right now, which those that called in can't see, but I was just showing some pictures from the harvest that we had this past week. And this is the packaging, and I just wanted to show you guys, how they're being packaged and what have you. and we're having, you know, great success with them. So this is the wellness mix, and then this is our labeling that goes on it. It says when it was harvested, you know, to wash them before using our, you know, our logo. And 90% of our customers are repeat. So they're repeat people who have been buying. And as long as that continues to grow, you know, this business will be successful. We're consistently, like I've had in the last four farmers markets, three of them we have done over $100 worth of sales. The goal is to now try to push that toward $200 worth of sales and then $300 each farmers market to build it up that way. So we're doing, the goal would be to be doing about $5,000 a month from microgreen sales. And so let me get a different one here. Let me turn this right side up. You know, packaging this makes everything. You know, and people look at that, the packaging, and they look at, you know, how the greens look and that kind of stuff. And so it makes a difference whether people buy them and how they buy them. You know, if you go to the store and you look at something, it don't look right to you, you're not going to buy it. And so we're trying to make them, you know, presentable, how they're placed into the package. And the wellness mix is like, it's like a mix as well. You know, it's I wasn't real careful how I put those into the container. But like anything that wasn't the wellness mix, like radishes or cabbage or anything like that, I was very particular as to how I put it into the container so that it looked right. You know, like if you look at these are sweet peas, and they're just the leaves off the sweet peas. And they actually taste really good. But again, it's how it looks in the container as to whether people will buy it or not. And so we, you know, have start working on our presentation, how we're presenting these two. Like this is the cabbage. And so you see how it looks in the container. And then, you know, I tried to alternate it so that we get the green leaves on the outside and then the stem with the color on the inside. And then we put, you know, the label on top of that. And so that's what people see. And at the same time that I'm talking to them, I have a pack that is, like, open. So I took one, like, cabbage, one radish, one sweet pea, sunflower, each of the ones that we're selling, and I used that as a sampler. And I'm not handing it out to them. I wasn't handing it out because I could use that. I hand out samples. They're already packed in here. Here you go, here's a sample. So, you know. But I would have one of each of these and ask people, I was talking to them, hey, why don't you, you know, try this, taste it. And 9 times out of 10, they would, sometimes they wouldn't. But if they tasted it, they'd be like, oh, that tastes good. And then they would buy. And so there is a another vendor that sells vinaigrette dressing. And it's supposed to be, you know, real good. So I was going to talk to him, and I was probably going to buy a bottle off of him, test it myself, and then make sure that, you know, what the people are saying is correct. It tastes good to me, too, to add this to, you know, add some of that vinaigrette to, you know, a salad bowl and then let people sample that so they can have, you know, a way of seeing how they can eat them, because a lot of people just don't know how to eat them, or, you know, they got to be told everything. And so we have been doing real well, you know, with this approach. And so on the website, I actually wanted to, these are the salad mix. Remember I was telling you I had a problem with the salad mix? And I actually got it to grow well this time, more than one tray. I think I had like four trays of salad mix that actually grew up the way they're supposed to grow up. And I think I got probably 10 or 12 ounces of microgreens, which is like six or seven containers out of those trays to sell. These I were selling, you know, I could sell these as high as 10. I was selling them for 7. And then the wellness mix, I was selling 10. So as I go up on the weight, then, you know, there are people inquiring as to, can they buy a pound? And so I will get to that weight level. I have it on the list. But, you know, to get a pound of sunflower seeds is different than trying to get a pound of salad mix or a pound of cabbage or a pound of cabbage or any of the other ones. Because sunflowers have a tendency to grow larger than the other plants, more bulky. So them and radishes, it wouldn't be hard to get a pound out of. But to get a pound out of you know, the cabbage or the salad mix or stuff like that, it may take me 3 trays to get a pound of you know, that type of microgreen. So we'll get there. I had, you know, all of the new trays have come in. And I'll take pictures so you guys can see. The new trays have come in. I have 30 new trays. I'm planting consistently about 20 trays at a time. So, and that should actually go up to about 30 trays with, you know, the van and having some available for the farmer's market. So 30 trays of greens, microgreens, different ones, and then plus the sprouts. And I experimented this time with the sprouts, and some of them didn't come out as large as I wanted them to come out. And so I'm going to go back to the, you know, what I was doing that made large, you know, the sprouts were bigger, which I have a walkway behind my grow rooms that's kind of dark. It's not completely dark, but it is darker than the rest of the room. And so they seem to do well in that. But I have so many jars now for sprouts. I have about 20 jars to grow sprouts in, 8-gallon jars and about 16-quart jars to grow sprouts in. And I have, you know, I'm doing them so that I have so many, you know, one set of jars is growing like for this week. And in the middle of the week, I will start the next set of jars to grow for next week. So the set of jars will rotate, you know. When I harvest, then I will use that set to grow for the following week or the week after that to get the system in place so that we are producing enough to keep up with demand. So, that, you know, like I said, the goal is to get this to about 5,000 a month, and I think I can do it. I know I can. I know Yah will bless it that way, and, you know, and then we'll proceed from there. Really, if I could get it to about 10 grand a month, you know, and pay somebody else to actually help do it and pay them out of that, then I would be able to do more things on the land. You know, we'd be able to go for the loans that we're looking for if that's what we're going to do. If my brother-in-law didn't come through with what he said he was going to do, you know, we still got to move forward. And so this is all in prep for that. So, you know, we're currently at about 100 a week. The goal is to get it up to, like I said, my goal right now is 5 grand a month to move this to. And we're getting there, you know. We're getting there. All right, with that being said, we're going to continue with this film. that we were listening to. And Sister Laura, you may have already watched this video before, so it may be familiar to you. The others have not watched it before or ever heard of this content. So we are, this will probably be the last, this will be the last video for this year, this Gregorian year. But I think we're going to, after this, we're going to start going into the historical writings, you know, from the Dutch, the Portuguese, the Spanish, the Africans, you know, all people who attest that the historical Jews of the Bible were black. This stuff is written, but it's not taught in America. And so, you know, we have that documentation so that when people, you know, a lot of people in the world just don't believe that we're the people of the book. We believe it, we know it, but they don't believe it and know it. It's not to prove it to them, but it's so that you're not just, you know, that you have some basis for what you're saying and can support it not only by the Bible, but by what? History. And you can use it on family who don't want to accept, you know, if they don't want to accept history, you know, this is written, then, you know, that's on them. That's, you can't do, you know, you can't do any more than that. Okay, so that's what this is about. You know, I don't need to convince you of who you are, and you don't need to convince me. But when you're talking to friends or relatives or people of other ethnicities and, you know, you tell them what your beliefs are, then they want to, first they want to think that you're an occult. And, you know, an occult is not a bad thing, but people use it in a bad way. They don't understand the meaning of that word. Okay. So when just like when I said people think you're an occult, I think Sister Nee said, like, yeah, because, and I know in your mind that word, a cult, is something what? Negative?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that, but when you look up the definition for that word, it means to be hidden. Means hidden knowledge. What that cult means? A cult. Hidden knowledge.
Well, Brother Miles.
Yes, ma'am.
In real time, they in a cult.
Yeah, but you know, they don't, they won't see it that way because they're going with the what, masses, and so the masses will think that we're heretics, okay. The masses think that we're heretics. And I tell them, yes, I'm a heretic. I worship the Most High as my forefathers worship the Most High, as the apostles worship the Most High. So you can call me a heretic after that manner. That's written right in the scriptures. So let them say what they want to say. You know who you are. The thing is that the best way to convince people, it's not that you have your own word for it, but you find other historical documents in history that prove what you're saying. And now if people choose not to believe that, then there's nothing else you can do with that. They have made their mind up. They've chosen. But, you know, with family, your children, your grandchildren, your, you know, nieces and nephews, those that will give you an ear, if you're trying to prove to them that, hey, you know, this is your heritage. Black history doesn't start at slavery. And that's not the start of our history. And you're able to take it back to them through the you know, the writings and through, you know, documentation to show. Because, you know, my daughter, my youngest daughter, believes that we are the original people on the land. And, you know, and a lot of blacks believe that. A lot of our people believe that. That we are, you know, that we were here already. And so when I show her stuff, you know, she always has to come back. And I'm like, okay. All right. I said, so you can't come from where I don't come from. And you are my heritage. So you're just saying that you just don't believe me. But you believe other people, okay? So I think her grandmother and all of them were saying we're Indian, or they were Indian. And I'm like, you know, Why do Indians say you ain't Indian? And why do Indians have slaves? Hebrews as slaves. So, you know, it's that battle that we are constantly up against. And it's important, but, you know, you can't make anybody do what? Anything? We can only save ourselves. If you're going to have the conversation, then at least, you know, I don't like for people to come to me and they try to convince me of something and they have no proof. It's just their what? Word? Then, you know, you give me your opinion as far as I'm concerned. And most people are like that. But when you can quote facts and show them facts, like I'll take, for instance, my father-in-law and his family, his son. You know, for years, they did not believe that we were the people of the book, even though I was telling them that. Now, all of a sudden, Kyrie Irving and Kanye West come out and say, oh, yeah, we're the people of the book. Then they want to start bringing this stuff to me. I'm like, you know, why are you bringing me stuff that I've been telling you for years? You're convinced because Kanye said it, or you're convinced because Kyrie said it, or Kyrie saw a video and he said it. But when I told you, you didn't want to believe it. I said, but I'm glad that you are finally waking up. And they asked, you know, they're asking more questions now, and they're trying to bring things to me. But, you know, if you've been in this for a while, if you study and you do history, and those types of things, then you're going to come across some stuff. And you got to learn how to eat the meat and spit out the what? Spit out the bones. Because everything you read and everything you see may not be true. And you got to have the spirit of discernment. So as I said, we're using this site because, you know, this brother has done his homework. The video that we're looking at, this, as I said, was posted on the internet years back. One of the first ones that I ran across, and it does a very good job of explaining who we are as a people. Okay, now we're coming into January, and in February will be what, National Black History Month. And so in February this year, I will make a special attempt to go out to family and friends and say, hey, join us for Black History. Because, you know, it seems like too much scripture or too much of anything people don't want to do. That's just been my experience. Okay. All right. So let's do this. Let's do our statement of faith. And let me close these down. Do our statement of faith. And we will get into this video. We only got about 30 some odd minutes of it left to do. We'll discuss it, you know, whatever they're saying. And then, as I was saying on this morning in the precept on this morning, you know, what the Jew needs to know and what the Gentile needs to know concerning, you know, our salvation and the new covenant and what the Gentiles are being brought into and what Israel has to be brought back into. Because our people don't understand that the Most High fired them, and he said, I'm going to take the gospel from you and give it to another nation. But then he said, you know, we had to come back in. We had to be grafted back in ourselves as a people. So we got to understand that, and even to accept that, you need to know who you are. Because if you don't believe that it is, if you don't believe you're the people of the book, then there are certain things that the scripture promises, there's certain things that the scripture requires that Israel do, his people, that no other nation has to do. And you can't do it if you don't know you're supposed to do it. It's impossible. Because you'll always say, oh, that's them. And not say that's me or us. Hey. And that's why this is important. It's not important to know that you're a Hebrew of the flesh for the sake of knowing that you're a Hebrew of the flesh. Because that in a quarter will get you nothing. It doesn't give you favor with the Most High if you don't come back and do what he says to do. So it's important that we know who we are, and then when we're trying to convince other people that this is either them or this is who we are, that you come with facts. It's just like when I'm at the farmer's market and the name of our farm, Yesterun Farms, Yesterun Farms. A lot of people walk up, they recognize that name, and none of them are black. None of them are Hebrews. These are all Gentiles that recognize the name, that name. And they're like, isn't that a Hebrew name? Yes. They sort of look at me strange. I just let them look at me strange because I don't care if they know what I believe. If they come up and ask the question, then I will answer it. But I'm not going to go and say, oh, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. They should be able to find that out by my what? My lifestyle, by the things that I project that make them ask the question. And then it opens the conversation. But just the name of the name of the farm draws people in, and they're just looking and seeing why you got a Hebrew name, why you got a a Hebrew name, and it's not one that, that is commonly used. Even Israel doesn't use Yesterun, righteous Israel. So. It's those types of things, and, you're not seeing me being loud and vulgar and cussing people out and things like that. It's not the image that I want to portray to them. So our statement of faith, and then we will turn on this video. I'll share my screen. And Sister Lori, you can tell me if you can hear the audio when I start the video so I can make sure that you can at least hear it. Okay, so... whiteboard, files. And I hate when the server crashes because then everything that I had up, I got to go back and put back where it was at. Why is this screen looking this way? Okay. All right, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 through 29, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We just thank you. We love you, O Most High Elohim. We lift thee up and we give you the praise of our lips, Father, and the praise of our hands, Father. We extol thee and we adore thee and we worship you, Father. Hallelujah. You are our Elohim, Father, and we just love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. And we show that we love you because we keep your commandments. We keep your statutes, your law, and your judgments, Father. And we just glorify you on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Elohim. Okay, our verse for this evening, the Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. May the Most High bless you to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right. I am going to share my screen. And if you guys can let me know when you can see it with an amen, that would be much appreciated. All right. Screen sharing should be on.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. And then I'm going to play a part of this and then pause it for a sound check. Because you know how these videos be working sometimes.
What Egypt, as we know it today, is the name of that continent.
All right. Were we able to hear that audio? Sister Denise, Sister Mary, Sister Lorraine?
No.
You weren't able to hear that?
No. Yes, I did.
Okay, so Sister Lori could hear it, but you guys can't hear it in the room. Okay, now that's kind of weird. That's opposite. Give me a hot second here. Let me turn the volume up on my mic. I'm going to do another sound check on this.
Gone into captivity. Remember, we are Yah's children. We are his people. Luke 21.
All right. Were you able to hear that in the room?
No.
Still couldn't hear that? Now, that is weird, because that's a video that's playing off of my system, and you usually can hear those. Hold on a minute. Let me see if this is one that I uploaded. Question is, where would I put it at? Okay, let me do another sound check.
1:24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all.
All right, are you able to hear that?
Oh, it's just getting louder, but you can't hear that.
That is just weird. Okay, hold on. Let me see if I can upload this video. If you guys will be patient for a second here. Okay. Give me a hot second. Let me see where I have this at. Didn't we watch this through screen sharing last week? Anybody remember?
I think we did, yes.
Oh, you know what? Disregard that. I know why you can't hear. Hold on. Let me find this on my computer because I'm not actually playing it from my computer. That's playing from the internet, and that's the one we had a problem with. Black History, let's see. Hebrew so-called Negro. Okay, I'm going to... You should still be able to see my screen right now, right?
Deuteronomy 28:43. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. This scripture points out that the strangers or other ethnic groups that settle side by side with the children of Israel will climb.
All right, were you able to hear that? In the room? Okay. Sister Lorraine, Sister Denise, were you able to hear that?
I couldn't hear it. It was close.
Okay, my volume is right at about 90% right now. Okay.
The social and economic ladder higher than the Hebrews as a group, while the Hebrews will slip down to a...
What about that?
Yes, I can hear that.
Yes.
Okay, and Sister Lori, are you still able to hear online, or is that too loud for or coming in distorted over the phone?
No, I could still hear it. And hello, family.
Hello.
All right. All right, so I'm going to start this, and we're just, since everybody can hear it, and you guys should be able to see it on your screen.
Yes.
We will go ahead and proceed with this.
Deuteronomy 28:43. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. This scripture points out that the strangers or other ethnic groups that settle side by side with the children of Israel will climb the social and economic ladder higher than the Hebrews as a group, while the Hebrews will slip down to a lowly state. Historically, the United States has kept in place a hierarchical class structure that puts European whites, Asians, Hispanics, and Indians above blacks with an even greater social acceptability. However, the American government and the dominant white society have never systematically targeted these groups for destruction. The ancestors of black Israelites were in America before the ancestors of today's Jews, Italians, Germans, French, Japanese, Chinese, and Hispanics. Yet all these ethnic groups were relegated to a much higher social status than blacks, who have been kept at the lowest position in America.
The disorientation that takes place with that so-called Negro versus the one who was basically raised in his own nation, who knows his language, who knows his religion, knows where he stands, knows about his history, his traditions, so on and so forth. That is automatically a stronger person. And that is why a lot of times you see people come into this country and you see them starting their businesses, they're starting to move a lot faster, and then we start to say, well, why is it we've been here all this time? They started their business and so on and so forth because these people didn't come over here disorientated. They had not been told that they're niggas. They haven't been told that they're no good. They haven't been told that they're nobody. Their history hadn't been robbed. They already know who they are, so they can come over here with nothing and start because they know who they are. And so that's the type of mentality that we have that's going on in the Middle
East. The so-called Middle East. So-called.
That you are dealing with people, and this is why they are totally underestimated, because this white supremacist and arrogance, this mentality, totally underestimate this group of people every time, because they are not the submissive, confused, disorientated people that they seem to think the Negro would be like the Negro. So when they go over there, I believe these people will fight to their last bullet. I believe they will fight to their last bar. I believe they will fight. They will. Well, I'm talking about the so-called rented Negro over here, and that's making people mad. They're going to kill this so-called Uncle Tom Iraqis, because see, that's how strong they are about what they believe in. They're not going to allow someone to side with the oppressor that will create all of this havoc and rob their children for generation after generation the way we have.
Well, Deuteronomy 28:44, he, the stranger, shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Statistics show that the so-called Negro is content to waste a hefty percentage of their yearly disposable income on businesses in the white communities, with a smaller proportion going towards black businesses. They take their money to the stranger, which creates jobs for their people, while the black Hebrew remains at the bottom of the economic ladder. Obadiah Yisrael points out that only in black Hebrew communities will you see other immigrant groups owning nearly all the businesses. For example, observe the people who call themselves Jews. They own a large percentage of currency exchange stores, banks, and lending agencies. The Arabs own the grocery stores and fast food restaurants. The Asians own the clothing stores and beauty salons. The East Indians own the convenience stores and gas stations. And the whites own everything else. The black Hebrew Israelite owns little to nothing in their community. Since virtually all black economic power goes into the hands of the stranger, it elevates the stranger to a much higher social and economic bracket, which in turn gives him the resources to lend to blacks, who in turn are unable to lend to the stranger. Blacks generally have to go outside their community to the stranger to obtain loans for cars, mortgages, business, and even for social events. Deuteronomy 28:45, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and thou shalt pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever." Deuteronomy 28:48, "Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he hath destroyed thee." Isaiah 3:12 states, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you cause you to err, and destroy the way of your path." This scripture states that women will rule over the true Israeli Hebrew. The Hebrew female has been placed above the Hebrew male for as long as we have been here in America. The Hebrew female income has surpassed Hebrew males. It has been this way since 1954. Slavery intentionally placed the female in a dominant role over the male. Hebrew males who were forced into a status below the Hebrew female and totally powerless to protect her against the slave master. In 1712, a white slave owner by the name of William Lynch from the West Indies wrote a letter to slave owners in the U.S. In his letter, he outlined a plan he had devised for keeping the slaves docile and ignorant. He said that the slave owners must put the female slave over the male slaves and make the male slave fearful and dependent on the slave master. This has been the historical role for us in this country for hundreds of years. Women continue to rule over us. Deuteronomy 28:48, "Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he hath destroyed thee." The last section of the verse states that the oppressors will place yokes of iron around the necks of the black Hebrew. And since the word yoke also means agency of oppression, servitude, subjection, and slavery, it suggests that the black Hebrew population has an iron yoke around its neck even today, as their oppressors still continue to keep them in subjection after 400 years of mental programming. These verses indicate that no matter where Israel goes, these curses will be a burden on them because Israel chose not to obey the commands of Yah. Again, if those who say they are Jews today are the descendants of Israel, they should be under the curses outlined in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Irregardless of which country they reside in, the condition should mimic the present plight of the true Hebrews of the Western Hemisphere, but they do not. These curses or signs are the clearest guides to distinguishing who the children of Israel are, since God stresses would be a sign and a wonder on Israel forever. So whichever racial group suffers from all these curses can proclaim to be the true descendants of the seed of Israel. These curses are only seen on black Hebrew Israelites. Isaiah 3:12, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. My people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path."
God is speaking to his specific people and the people that are in the land now. Children are their oppressors. Our children that used to be obedient, which the scriptures calling our children still to be children, obey your parents, that now the children are acting in the role of parents, and children are oppressing their parents. Not only are they oppressing their parents, they're oppressing our society in the sense that the crime rate is elevated, in the sense that children have no discipline, they have no morals, they're using our young men to be gangbangers, our young women are soliciting themselves, and the children are now, not only are they oppressed, but they are oppressors, okay? And it says, children are the oppressors, women rule over them. In the order of God, men were ordained to be the head of the household and to be the leaders in our community. And it is not so because, first of all, for the black man, he's such a threat in this community that he has been so oppressed that the society has so made it that the women are ruling over the men. It's been hard for our black men to be the leaders that they are called to be because of the economic system that we live in. But if we return and get the spiritual teaching that the churches, some churches are failing to give, and putting the man in his proper role as the leader and the head of his household, it means sacrifice. This way of holiness means sacrifice. It means that we're going to have to let go of the things of the world. So what, you can't live in that million-dollar house if your man is the head of the household? As long as your family is intact, it's a matter of choosing your priorities and deciding who you're going to serve. You can't serve mammon, money. You can't serve this society and serve God or serve Yahweh in the beauty that he originally created, which is what he's calling us back to. We're living in a church age where in the book of Revelations, he talks about we're living in the time where the church is being judged. Our leaders are being judged because they have erred. They have not told us all the truth. They've told us a portion of the truth that was comfortable, but they have not given us the full truth because it would cause our identity to change. It would cause us to go through crisis that we don't always want to serve. We don't always want to change. We don't always want to take down. We don't always want to be outcast and rejected in this community. We want to have what others have. We want to look like what others look like, but it's not who we are. And in order to come into our full identity, we have to return to the Word of God as it was originally intended.
In the book of Isaiah, chapter 3, verse 12, it also mentions that the so-called Negro leaders are destroying the way of our past. This is absolutely the case today and has always been the case. The so-called Negro leadership is not leading us to truth and righteousness, but leading us to certain destruction. I do not know if it is done purposely or out of ignorance, but we as a people are going in the wrong direction.
O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path. Our leaders have gotten into a state of thinking that the leadership role is one of glamour. In order to be the leader, you have to be responsible. You're going to have to sometimes go against the grain in order to get the full truth of where we need to come. Jesse Jackson, Martin Luther King, all of our male leaders, okay, have always been under some oppression, but our leaders have the responsibility to tell us the full truth, the unadulterated truth, so that then we know which way we're supposed to go. If our leaders are erring and not telling us the truth, then it's causing us to have schisms at home and schisms in our body and schisms in our society. So we now have to get responsible leaders, okay? Not leaders who want the glamour, not leaders who want the status, not leaders who want the position, not leaders who will sell out politically, not leaders who will call themselves leaders, but leaders who are truly born leaders who have the responsibility to sacrifice and to tell the truth, to die if need be, but I tell you the truth, to uphold a standard that God is calling for.
Business leaders and community-based organizations tell us to shop with more black-owned and run businesses, and this will help solve our problem. Political and civic leaders keep telling us to rock the vote, keep hope alive. Others proclaim impotently, no justice, no peace, while others beg for the crumbs of the oppressor's table and weakly ask for a covenant with America. Still, there are other leaders who have large followings that will have the charisma to draw millions of people to hear what they have to say, but yet will not proclaim to the lost true children of Israel the truth of their ancestry, for possibly they believe it may ruin the large following of the people they have. My brothers and sisters, sisters, we are Hebrews, the long-lost children of Israel. Matthew 15:24. But Yehoshua answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How low can they go? Deuteronomy 28:49. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Deuteronomy 28:50. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young.
And the nations that we have been scattered into are spent. Not only are they spent.
From there.
But they have taken everything away from us. They have stripped us of our identity. We no longer know who we are. We no longer know where we belong. Now we have other nations that come into this country. And each one of them could trace their identity. And each one could go back to where their roots are. Where do we come from? Where is our roots? Our identity was stripped away from us.
Deuteronomy 28:65. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. And thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Isaiah 5:13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity. Remember, we are Yah's children. We are his people. Luke 21:24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. Slavery, bondage, and captivity played a huge part in the children of Israel's history, as they would be held as captives and shackled by the chains of slavery on many occasions. The Bible speaks of Israel's captivity and bondage in Egypt, Babylon, and Assyria. But to be able to identify the modern descendants of Israel would mean having to trace the people who were taken captive and brought by ships into bondage. Behold, the days come, saith Yah, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of Yah. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of Yah, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst.
The word Egypt, as we know it today, is the name of that continent. But it was never named Egypt in the Old Testament scriptures. Originally, that name of that continent or that country was Mithraim. Egypt, if you look in a very good dictionary, you will see the word Egypt means a condition of slavery. And because slavery was the key element in that country, when they formed the New World and they gave the New World name to these countries, they named it Egypt, associating it with the condition. So, keep that in mind, that Egypt is a condition of slavery. Remember, the children of Israel was in slavery in Egypt, okay? In Mithraim. The 68th verse, the last verse in that chapter says, this is because we disobey. And Yahweh will bring you back to Egypt, which means condition of slavery, by ship. On a journey I said you should never make again. You remember when Moses stood at the Red Sea and he stretched his rod and he said to the children of Israel, the Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more forever. That's the covenant that Yahweh made, that they shall not turn back. But because they disobeyed, he's going to bring him back. He brought us back ladies and gentlemen. There you will offer yourselves for sale as male and female slaves to your enemies, but no one will buy you. It's all in Scripture. Our people, the true Hebrew Israelites, are black people because Scripture says we will be brought into slavery by sin. And all over the world, there is no one, no people, no nation on the face of this earth was ever taken into slavery by ships, but Hebrew Israelites, African people.
Deuteronomy 28:68, and Yah shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. According to verse 68, Israel would go into a repressive, brutal bondage similar to what was experienced when held captive in Egypt. Only this time, ships will be the major transportation method used to move the Israelites to their new dwelling places.
And Jesus said in his parables of the signs of the end that there will be wars and rumors of war. Now, not only is this a war, this is a rumor of a war, you see. And then what will follow the rumors of war would be famine and pestilence and earthquakes and diverse places. But this... this would just be the...
And among them would have rest, sure, against power, for free bondage and captivity played a huge part in the children of Israel's history, as they would be held as captives and shackled by the chains of slavery on many occasions. The Bible speaks of Israel's captivity and bondage in Egypt, Babylon, and Assyria. But to be able to identify the modern descendants of Israel would mean having to trace the people who were taken captive and brought by ships into bondage. Behold, the days come, saith Yah, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of Yah. And that they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of Yah, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst.
The word Egypt, as we know it today, is the name of that continent. But it was never named Egypt in the Old Testament scriptures. Originally, that name of that continent or that country was Mithraim. Egypt, if you look in a very good dictionary, you will see the word Egypt means a condition of slavery. And because slavery was the key element in that country, when they formed the New World and they gave the New World name to these countries, they named it Egypt, associating it with the condition. So, keep that in mind, that Egypt is a condition of slavery. Remember, the children of Israel was in slavery in Egypt. Okay? In Mithraim. The 68th verse, the last verse in that chapter says, this is because we disobey. And Yahweh will bring you back to Egypt, which means condition of slavery, by ship. On a journey I said you would never make again. You remember when Moses stood at the Red Sea and he stretched his rod and he said to the children of Israel, the Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more forever. That's the covenant that Yahweh made, that they shall not turn back. But because they disobeyed, he's going to bring them back. He brought us back. Ladies and gentlemen, there you will offer yourselves for sale as male and female slaves to your enemies, but no one will buy you. It's all in Scripture. Our people, the true Hebrew Israelites, are black people because the Scripture says we will be brought into slavery by sin. And all over the world, there is no one, no people, no nation on the face of this earth was ever taken into slavery by ships but Hebrew Israel, African people.
Deuteronomy 28:68, and Yah shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. According to verse 68, Israel would go into a repressive, brutal bondage similar to what was experienced when held captive in Egypt, only this time ships will be the major transportation method used to move the Israelites to their new dwelling places.
And Jesus said in his parables of the signs of the end that there will be wars and rumors of war. Now, not only is this a war, this is a rumor of a war, you see. And then what will follow the rumors of war would be famine and pestilence and earthquakes and diverse places. But this would just be the...
Okay. Let me start the other... I had broken this up, so give me a hot second. Let me start part four of this.
According to verse 68, Israel would go into a repressive, brutal bondage similar to what was experienced when held captive in Egypt, only this time ships will be the major transportation method used to move the Israelites to their new dwelling places.
And Jesus said in his parables of the signs of the end that there will be wars and rumors of war. Now, not only is this a war, this is a rumor of a war, you see. And then what will follow the rumors of war would be famine and pestilence and earthquake and diverse places, but this would just be the beginning of sorrow. And so the picket that graduated up above the mind of the neoconservatives that control America, the Federal Reserve Bank, and the other powers that be that we all know about, we, I believe, are at the end of sin, tyranny, and oppression that will come at the end of this world. And the end of the power that be, that we have entered into the beginning of the end of the fall of wickedness and oppression and tyranny, and they won't go down without a fight. They will go down, as the scripture said, that they will go down, and that's in war.
No, I can follow with this, Mr. Muhammad. Now, if you're quoting that, and that's what you're stating, then basically you are stating that America is that great beast spoke about in Revelation 17, 18, 19. And that George Bush and not only George, but that the power structure of America is hovering over is the tool of the devil. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that the Bible in those chapters of Revelation that you mentioned talk about a mystery Babylon. Mystery means there's something yet to be revealed. And so it says Babylon, the greatest power. She has become the habitation of devils and the hole for every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. And that she would fall and that she would be like a king that commits fornication. And the fornication with the kings of the earth means trade and commerce. So much torment and sorrow give her. That scripture is a clear description of the position that America sits in, because Mr. Babylon really means, according to the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Baby London, that America got its start from Europe. So this is Baby London or Babylon, but it is time now that the mystery be revealed. And so,
okay, I wanted to pause this here for a second because I think I brought this up before, and you can let me know. This is a teaching. Baby London, Babylon, is a teaching of Minister Farrakhan. In his understanding of the scriptures, the truth of the matter is, as I said, if this only applied to America, then it would only affect America. And so when we, as I said, when we watch these types of documentaries, understand that we're listening to some opinions that may not be exactly as the scriptures state or as the scriptures have represented. Babylon itself stands for two things, confusion, man trying to think that man can run man, can rule man outside of the Most High, and it stands for false religion. These are both global things. Now, is America part of the beast system? I fully believe that it is part of the beast system for the last days. And what the Most High has done with those that are in America is put us into the belly of the beast. We're in a land where we are told that we are free to worship whatever we want to worship. You want to worship an ashtray, you can worship an ashtray. You want to worship a joint, you can worship a joint. You want to worship a chair, you can worship a chair. Whatever you want to worship, you can worship. And so that's what that Lady Liberty is all about, your freedom of religion. So the Most High put us into a country, at least us here in America, put us into a country where we are free to worship him however he says to worship him. And if we don't, we really have no excuse. But the system has to apply globally because Israel is scattered globally. I hope that makes sense to everyone. Israel is scattered globally, so you can't just say, oh, America is Babylon. Every country is Babylon. Every country, because every country has somebody, a man that's running it, and not running it in accordance with the statutes, laws, and commandments we apply to America or just to us as a people, because we're not all of Israel. So this system is global. Farrakhan says some things, and I've listened to Farrakhan on a number of occasions concerning this, even when he was telling his own congregation that, you know, that he realized that we are the people of the book, the Negro, you know, those that are in America. But because we have been put in a place and Judah is supposed to wake up first, according to the scriptures, then, you know, they're pointing everything at us. But understand that when it comes to understanding the system that's in place, no matter where we are at in the world, we are under the same conditions. It just so happens that we live in the richest nation in the world, and living in the richest nation in the world, we qualify, or we rank in the world as number 19 in economy. The American Negro, so-called Hebrew, we rank 19 in the world. There are 186 other countries that are poorer than us, the American Negro, so-called Hebrew. So even the crumbs from the master's table, we make more than most of the world makes. But the truth of the matter is, we have to do what we're supposed to do. So as I said, we always want to listen, but we also want to check and verify, because there are just many groups that have their own agenda. Okay, they have their own agenda and what they're trying to sell and what they're trying to move the people toward. Okay, so always understand that. Baby London. Yeah, you can look at that and symbolically say that, yeah, we came out of London, but we didn't really all come out of London or this country. It was the British, the Spanish, the Portuguese. So when he says baby London, that makes it, you know, that paints the picture that we, you know, this country was founded by England. England won the Revolutionary War, or England won, yeah, the Revolutionary War, the war for this country. But it wasn't the only nation. This country was owned by three different major nations at that time. So England, France, and and they had divvied up this hemisphere like they divvied up Africa. Okay, so just understand that we chew the meat and spit out the bones. In other words,
well, yes, I'm saying that America fulfills the prophecy of the mystery of Babylon. And not only does America fulfill that prophecy, we as black people fulfill the prophecy of the people of God in the last days as well.
Revelation 18, 1 through 5. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye not be partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities.
We put a lot of pressure on the black church, and we rake them over the coals. But I want to defend the black church, but at the same time, chide them.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, because that's where all of us came from. That's where
right. I came.
I was born holiness. You know what that means. But history is best qualified and most rewarding in this research because we have to face the harsh truth that the church was not set up by Jesus Christ. It was set up, I'm talking about the black church now. I'm not talking about the Roman Catholicism and the whole history. I'm saying that the church was not set up to be an instrument of liberation for the people. It was set up by our former colonial slave masters to make us suffer peacefully while we were building the world for them. That is the origin of the church. We must face the fact. I'm not talking about the origin of your faith. Your faith is personally between a man and his God and a man and his Lord. But I'm saying the establishment of the church, it was set up to make the slave suffer peacefully while he was serving his master. Look at the teacher. When somebody smites you, turn the other cheek. When they take your coat, give them your hat. If they, you know, that kind of teaching, it makes a slave out of you. You see? Don't touch.
All right. Let's pause it here for a second, because that's significant in what he just said. And what I want to know is, how many of you believe that?
The mouth was still, I'm trying to get my words together.
I'm listening.
Okay. How many of us believe that the church, the thing, what, now, again, the person who is talking is a Muslim, okay? He grew up in holiness, according to his own testimony. But then he's saying that the words that they say that Messiah spoke were actually inserted into the book by the church. How many of us believe that?
I don't. Huh. Well, you know, I know they distorted the word, and it might be a whole lot in there that's distorted. But I try to pick out what I think that the Father is really saying to us.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to stand and let nobody beat me. You know, if I can help it. I'm just not going to lie.
Okay, so when Messiah is saying, if somebody smites you, turn the other cheek.
I don't think he meant, but I think he meant, like, criticize you.
Is that what it said?
It said smite you.
Right. So what does that word smite
mean?
Hit
you. They can hit you with their fist. They can hit you with words.
Okay. Anyone else?
Because look how we're treated here. The white man don't just come up to you and slap you.
No, but he used to.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. He used to, but that's got nothing to do with slavery. Has nothing to do with slavery. Okay, and so because this man is saying that it makes a slave out of you. But it has nothing to do with slavery. So let's do this. Let's do an exercise. Because it's, you know, it's important what we believe and why we believe it. Messiah is saying to love your brother and your sister, right?
Right.
And if your brother or your sister spitefully uses you, he said, I want you to be the bigger person and not the word here. I want you to be the bigger person and not retaliate. Okay. So he said, if your brother hits you, then you do what? You turn the other cheek. He's not telling you to take a beating. He's telling you not to be the aggressor.
Right.
Okay. So if you turn, if somebody hits you, maybe they hit you out of what? Anger?
Right.
Okay. Now, if they're angry, then there's clearly something what? Emotional going on there?
Yeah.
And he's telling you, don't react out of emotion. And he's saying, if this happened, this is your brother. He didn't say the enemy. He said who? Your brother. Then you turn the other cheek. And he says, if your enemy does something like that, he doesn't tell you how to react. He says, if your enemy is starving, what are you supposed to do?
Feed him.
If he's thirsty, what are you supposed to do?
Give him something to drink.
But he don't tell you if your enemy strikes you what you're supposed to do.
No, he did.
Okay, he's talking about brethren. So this is somebody who is believing what you believe, living how you live, supposed to have what somewhat the same standards that you have.
Right.
And if they do something, if you do something to them to bring them to anger, because they didn't just strike you for no reason just to strike you. Something, some type of transaction took place. When I say a transaction, something happened between the two of you. Maybe it was some words, but those words came to what? Blows?
Yeah.
And so he said, turn the other cheek. Now, if your brother continue to do that, then you have a right to defend yourself. Because after the fact, do what? Oh, my Lord, help me out, my fellows.
Well, I'm the only one talking, Brother Miles. They always, why y'all always leave me hanging?
They say you always the one jumping off the cliff.
Oh, okay. You always have the answer.
So, help her out.
Y'all over there on my back. Ask the question again, Brother Miles.
Heck, I don't forgot what the question is now. If scriptures never tell you how to react towards your enemy, okay, tells you that if your enemy is hungry, to feed him. The Most High does, he wants you to always do what? What are you commanded to do? Let me pull up.
Love
your brothers, right? But you're also supposed to be of a mindset that you're supposed to always be pursuing something.
The Father.
No, that, somebody else said it. Start with a P.
Peace.
Peace. You're always are supposed to be seeking peace. No matter what, the Most High doesn't want, he says, vengeance belongs to who?
Him.
So he says, you're always to remember that. Your brother comes against you in such a way, if your brother, and when I'm saying brother, now when I'm talking here, and I'm saying brother or that, I mean your brother as far as man and woman goes, okay?
Uh-huh.
Mankind. Not saying that this is a man-specific thing, because people will do that, will say something like that. So it's talking about mankind. If your brother or sister, who is truly your brother or sister. They are living the same lifestyle you're living. You're living by the same code that you're living by. And you guys get into a heated argument, a heated discussion, and your brother or your sister strikes you. He says to do what? Turn the other cheek. Now, hopefully when they struck you, you ever did something and realized you should have did it right after you did it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Hopefully when they strike you, they will automatically have this, you know, this feeling of regret. Oh, I shouldn't have did that. Because they should be living by the same standards. We're not supposed to, what, go there?
Right.
But they went there. So there should be an immediate feeling of regret. And so then you two are supposed to be able to talk this thing out. So he tells you, if you have an odd, a problem with your brother or your sister, what are you supposed to do?
Supposed to try to work it out.
You're supposed to go to them with it, right, and try to work it out. Okay. So when he said to turn the other cheek, he's telling you don't be cheap, okay? Because if they hit you and you hit them back, what's going to happen?
It's going to be a fight.
And y'all just going to be throwing blows, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And no peace is going to come out of that.
Nope. Not for a minute anyway.
Right. Okay. Now, if your brother or your sister pick up something that really, really hurt you, like a stick or an axe or something like that, even if they stand there and let them hit you with that, not what he's saying. Because now their intent is clearly
to hurt you.
To do real harm, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to understand that when he's telling us to do this, these are the ways of peace. If you and I are always arguing, somebody's got to take the high road and say, you know what? It takes two to argue.
Right.
If I don't argue with you, then you're arguing by yourself. Okay, and so I'm gonna seek peace. It takes two to fight. It takes two to tango. So the ways of it is, I have this in my email. Because this is what we're supposed to always do. If you don't have nothing good to say, what are you supposed to do?
Say nothing.
Oh.
That's right. Just keep your mouth closed, right?
Right.
Might not be what you're thinking. That might be what you want to do. But that's what he commands us to do. Just keep it to yourself. Because conflict like that will only lead to more conflict like that. So he says, if you are harboring, if you're holding ill feelings toward your brother or sister and you come to the Most High to pray to him, to make a presentation to him, what does he say for you to do?
Fix that what's wrong with what's between you and your brother or your sister.
First, right?
First, yeah.
And then come back to him.
Right.
He doesn't want us to be having ill feelings one toward another and to hold it. Okay, he doesn't want that. And if we do that, then he has a problem with us. So now when this brother is saying that these things were written to make a slave out of us, these things were written long before we went into slavery. Think about that, okay? These things were written long before we went into slavery. So could they have been written to make a slave out of us?
No.
It wouldn't even apply, right?
Right.
Because it existed prior to us, way long before we ever were taken from the continent of Africa. Okay. So only way that, the only way, and I'm looking for my Bible here, the only way that we could say that that would be true, how could we prove that to be true or not true?
What, turned out the teeth?
Yeah, whether that, whether those verses existed prior to us going into slavery. And if they existed before we went into slavery, then this was a way of life that the Most High wanted us to do long before we, what, went into slavery?
Right.
So how could we prove that?
Well, do we have to take them back to either Exodus or the end of Genesis and show them?
Okay. Find your papers.
Then I would try to use some common sense.
Well.
That don't work all the time, huh?
No. But to be blunt, no.
Y'all just leave me hanging out there and let me just get beat up, don't you? I have to ask a question. Do y'all love me?
Yes, we love you.
I believe you do.
But if you like taking a beating, we just want to watch. No,
it helps me to think. It helps me to learn. I have to ask questions. I have to.
No, and I can appreciate that, and I really do appreciate it, because it discussion is good, and you sharing your understanding and your opinion, that's good. It's not a bad thing. Okay, it's not a bad thing.
And I just be messing with y'all, Denise. You know that.
Maybe she don't.
I do.
Okay.
I love y'all so much, you just don't know.
So I'm going to share my screen, okay?
Okay.
I'm already still sharing my screen, but I'm going to put the Bible over. So everybody can see my Bible?
Yes.
Okay. And let me stretch this down here. All right. I just did a simple word search, okay? For seek peace, okay? First place we see seek peace in the scriptures is where?
It says Psalm 34 and 14.
Okay. Is that before the New Testament?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So this has always been the Most High's desire for us to depart from evil and to do good and seek peace. And do what with it?
Pursue it.
This is not a New Testament concept. That's why I say you got to be careful to who and what you listen to. Because what the brother said sounded good. Didn't necessarily make it what? True?
Right.
Okay. So the Most High has always wanted Israel amongst the brethren to seek peace and to pursue it. Okay. Then we see it again in Ezekiel. But this one is not talking about Israel seeking peace. This is talking about the people will what? Be seeking peace? There'll be none. Because of, the, you know, something they've done wrong.
Right.
In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Let him eschew evil. That's the same thing as to depart from evil, right?
Right.
And do good. And let him do what?
And pursue it.
Is he quoting Psalm 34 and 14?
Yes.
Yep.
That's what he's quoting. Okay, so this is not new to the New Testament. And this is what, you know, what the brother basically just said, okay? So you can verify scripture with what? With scripture. So we got to understand that Messiah came and his words were not to enslave us. His words were to set us free from always thinking. If we are in this state, in Genesis 6 and 5, what did the Most High say was wrong with man?
Wicked.
What else?
God is evil continuously.
Evil continuously. Continually. If our thoughts of our heart are evil continually, and that's our nature, you think we're going to seek peace? If you wrong me, do you think I'm going to be seeking peace with you?
No.
If you do me good, do you think I'm going to be seeking peace with you?
Nope, not if my thoughts and my heart is evil continuously.
I'm only thinking about doing evil, right?
Right.
No matter what the situation, you do
right.
me good, I might think that you're what, weak?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You soft, so you know what, whatever you get, you got coming.
Right.
Because that is that evil heart. And the Most High wants us to, he don't want us to, what, think that way, he wants us to do good?
Right.
And to seek peace always. So Messiah came in to tell us how to do that. You know, the first time somebody hits you, you don't hit them back. Some of us need some humble pills, huh?
Yeah.
Sister Mary want to pull out the AR. Start blasting.
I'm a work in progress, I tell you.
It is, you know, our heart has to be to seek peace.
Yeah.
Okay. Our heart can't be to render evil for what?
Evil.
So we have to
I'm
seek peace.
I'm not like that really.
Uh-huh. I hear you. I hear you. But I know that it's a struggle for a lot of people. Okay. So you can just be real. Yeah, you're struggling with it. Stuff you got to grow in.
I'm a work in progress.
Amen. Just understand. Just understand this, okay? Because this is how important it is. How's that worded? If you don't seek peace and pursue it, he says you won't see him. And I'm looking for the verse that actually says that. That's how important it is, okay, for us to seek peace and not, you know, be of a warrior mind. If the Most High says go to war, you go to war. But
you know what, Brother Miles?
What's that, my sister?
I don't just snap or go off like that. But if the Father allows me to say something, because a lot of time I close my mouth and I don't say anything. But if he allows me to, then you are in trouble.
Okay, and how do you determine if he's going to allow you to?
Because this time, like, take me and my niece's situation. I had to literally calm down before I could talk to her. And every time I looked at her, I couldn't say anything. And then it said, okay, you can calm now, talk to us. And we talked it out.
Amen. Amen. And but you weren't speaking out of anger then.
Right. I had calmed me down.
Right. And that's different. Okay, because had you spoken out of anger, you might have said something you ought not say.
Yes, or done something I should not have done.
Okay, Miss Violence.
I mean, I'm just being real.
I'm just picking at you because, you know, we all have a, what, limit?
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, for me, it has always been don't draw blood.
Right.
You draw blood, I ain't,
you know what?
I ain't responsible.
You know what I did, Mother Miles?
What was that?
By sheer accident, I hurt Sister Denise's feelings, and I didn't know I did it. But when she told me, me and her both cried.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? I don't never want to hurt nobody's feelings.
Amen. And but
so,
that but that's how you what resolve that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You confront it, and then if somebody says that you offended them, you have to what, accept that?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people won't even accept that.
Right.
Where they can repent for what they have what said.
What they said, yeah.
And they might have been doing it in ignorance, or they might not have been doing it out of what, ignorance? They might have intentionally did.
Yeah. I actually was joking with her and I didn't know I hurt her feelings.
Amen. Well, and then so it tells us to what, be careful with what we say?
Absolutely.
Because everybody doesn't even have the same definitions for the same words. So, but back to what we were talking about here. We are to, the scriptures, the words of Messiah, were written long before we ever went into what? Captivity?
Yes.
And the concepts that he taught were strictly, he always went back to Torah. He always went back to the law. And the disciples, they keep taking us back where? To the law. They're quoting the law and the what? Prophets? So you got to understand that, you know, a lot of people believe that certain things are new to the New Testament. They are not. The only thing that's new to the New Testament is, hey, you're not going to be killing no more animals. The way you're supposed to behave, did the law change?
No.
It didn't change. So because the law didn't change, then they want to eliminate the law.
Mm-hmm.
We're not up under that law.
That's why they say we don't have to do that old law. Huh?
Right. We don't have that old law. Like there's a new law.
Right.
But we keep going back. Every time you hear one of these disciples, one of the apostles, quote something, everything that Messiah quoted, his quote came from where? Come on.
The New Testament.
The Old Testament.
The Old Testament, okay.
Messiah, everything he quoted came from the Old Testament. Why was that? Was the New Testament even existing in his time?
No.
It didn't exist in his time. So how could he be quoting the New Testament?
Right.
He was quoting what was already written. And he was clarifying what was already written. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes, it does.
So that's why I say, you know, when I hear something that's blatant, because I know people hear things and we don't always critically analyze it, especially if it sounds good. And it might sound like, you know, right down our alley. But don't let through. So what this guy said on this video, I couldn't just let it stand right there. Because I know somebody hearing it would believe it. Okay. Because I ain't letting nobody hit me.
Okay, brother.
I'm just taking that to my sister because I can.
I appreciate it because I like to laugh.
Amen. All right. So, you know, I just want us to understand that the Most High always, it has always been that he wants us to love our brothers, you know, our kinfolk, those of our nation, those that are living the same lifestyle that we're living, those under his what, law? His statutes and commandments?
Yes.
Did he care if you were a stranger?
No.
He didn't care when it comes to seeking peace and living according to the statutes, laws, and commandments. He didn't let the stranger just do everything in Israel. Okay?
Right.
But even Israel couldn't do everything in Israel. If you were of the tribe of Reuben and you approached the Ark of the Covenant and you looked at it, what was supposed to happen to you?
You would die.
Supposed to die, right?
Yeah.
If you touched the Ark of the Covenant and you weren't of the family of Aaron, what was supposed to happen to you?
You're supposed to die.
So even Israel couldn't do everything in what, Israel?
Right.
Because you were an Israelite didn't mean that you were authorized to do everything in Israel. So even the stranger, there's certain things the stranger was not supposed to be allowed to do. If I was visiting Aaron, let's say I'm from France, okay? I'm visiting Aaron. Aaron eats of the altar. He starts to eat the showbread. I'm hungry too. Is he supposed to allow me to eat the showbread?
No.
Couldn't do it. He had to go out and buy something for me. Because I couldn't eat. I wasn't authorized by the Most High to eat what he was eating. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
It's only for, what was holy was only for the priesthood. And if I was visiting, then I wasn't authorized to eat it. Now, let's say that he bought me at a market, and I was now one of his servants. Could I eat the showbread?
No.
Yes, you could.
Really?
Yes. Now, I'm part of the family.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm not a visitor.
I was bought. Okay.
Yeah, you were bought and you belonged to him and you were to eat from his table.
Okay.
Okay. Different circumstance,
amen.
Right?
Yes. Amen.
If I had a daughter, if Aaron had a daughter, and she, while she was in his house, he was authorized to eat from those things that were holy.
Right.
She got married. Was she still authorized to eat from those things that are holy?
No,
because she was of another family.
Right. She was in another family at that point. She now was up under her, what, husband?
Right.
And if he wasn't a Levi or of the family of Aaron, she wasn't authorized anymore. Matter.
Yeah.
So we are to seek peace and do what?
Pursue it.
Under all cause until you just don't have a choice. Somebody coming to kill you, the Most I don't say don't, you know, let them shoot you or strike you and kill you. You have a right to defend yourself. And we have to understand that. And when he said, when he puts you, like some scriptures, it was never intended that Israel would be up under anybody else. So the fact that when the scriptures were written and the law was given and even the setup of the Most High's government, he wasn't really talking about you being up under. Those scriptures aren't really talking about being up under Gentile rule. When it says obey the magistrate and the king, that was really talking about him and the order that he put in place. But let's be real. Obey the laws of the land. Look what happened to you. If you break a law in the United States, what's going to happen to you? Are they going to put you out of the U.S.?
No, you going to jail.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's be real now. Okay. You going to jail.
He's going to jail. Everybody but Trump.
I think he's going to see that sometime too. Or they just going to try to make it where he can't run. But the truth of the matter is, they're not going to take you to the border if they don't come back. Okay. You're going to jail. They're going to prosecute you in accordance with the law of the what? Land?
Right.
Okay. Now, we have to mind the law of the land in our what, captivity?
Yeah.
And if they say something, if they make a law themselves, and this is the difference, if they make a law themselves, that's the law of the land, that contradicts the Most High's law, to obey that.
Right.
And then if they come, if the people in the land come after you, you're supposed to hold your ground. We don't do that.
Right.
Your laws do not supersede the laws of my God, and you have to be willing to what?
That's for them.
That's right. Now, how many of us you think will actually do that?
I will.
Me too.
We can speak for ourselves.
I will.
How many people in the U.S. do you think will actually do that?
Oh. Not too many.
Yeah. The truth of the matter is, people will always, if you don't have this motivation, people will, self-preservation will what, kick in?
Yes, it will.
And you know what? They will give in and do what is being said in the land. It's just like, I'll give you a classic example. And this is me personally, okay? This is not written anywhere, so this is not, you know, scripture, what I'm about to say. When the Most High told me and showed me that COVID was a judgment and not to take the shot, do you think I didn't know that they were going to come out and try to make it mandatory?
Oh, yeah.
And they're trying to make it, what, you can't even go to certain jobs unless you have taken the shot?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Can't be employed.
Yep.
Okay. And a lot of us who are Hebrews, who even heard that, the first thing that kicked in for them was self-preservation. And what did they do?
They took the shot.
They went and took the shot.
Well, that's how I lost my job, because I refused to take it.
Well, I told them when it's time for me to take it, just have my check ready.
And if you had continued to wanted to work, Sister Mary,
uh-huh.
I could have just given you a letter.
Say that again.
I could have just given you a letter.
Yeah.
If you had still wanted to work. And the same way for you, Sister Denise, if it's your desire to continue to work,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to hold that over your head, then just ask me for the letter. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you now. Doesn't matter. Because as a religious conviction, and you don't want to take it for religious purposes, they can't make you take it. And they can't fire you for that. Matter of fact, I've given it to several people who companies had asked them or told them they needed to be vaccinated before they could get the job.
Uh-huh.
I gave them the letter, and they gave them the job, and they didn't take the vaccination.
Right.
And what they do is they go check the website. Because our official stance on that matter. See that, hey, this wasn't, you know, you just didn't make this up today. From the very beginning, you've had the stance, so this must be your conviction.
Right.
You know, what they're trying to prevent is people saying, hey, I don't want to take the shot. And they just came to that conclusion, but it ain't really got nothing to do with any religious matter.
Oh, okay.
They just don't want to take it. So, trust me, it worked. Now that you're not working anymore, you probably don't want to work no more, so that's probably a done point.
I know, I'm done with that.
Yeah, I hear you. That's a moot point. Okay. All right, so let's go back to this. What time is it? 8? It's after 8. How much we got left of this film? Hold on. I shouldn't start running my mouth.
You did a good job. Yeah, did.
Amen. We just know
he jumped on me.
We just know to give Sister Mary the AR and run. Y'all duck and get out of the way. Come on.
Your mouth was speaking, the mouth was cold. And for God's sake, don't touch mouth's water. They wasn't liberating us. If a man is not going to treat you right, he's not going to teach you right. And when they let the first ladies in the church in the late 1700s, you couldn't even sit on the floor with the true followers of Christ. You got to go up in the balcony, and then they ran you out in the balcony to a whole shack in the back of the woods somewhere. And we were down there raising so much ruckus and so much noise that the slave master sent somebody in there to make sure that we were teaching what the black preacher who couldn't read wanted us to know.
Psalm 83:4. They have said, come and let us cut them off.
Okay. Now, again, part of what this brother just said is true, because they did do that. And if you are sanctioned, if you're a sanctioned preacher for any of the organized denominations, you have to teach and preach what?
Preach.
Say that again.
You have to preach and teach what they tell you to.
Exactly. And so did they send some people down there to do that? Yes. They surely wouldn't want you to be teaching the people that you are what? The lost people of the book?
Right.
Okay. So they would probably come against that. So that some of that did go on. But the truth of the matter is, the scriptures were not written that way to what, enslave us.
Nice.
So when you come with that agenda, then everything that you explain is going to be from that stance, and we just have to be ourselves careful of that. Okay, because nobody wants to be beat, right?
Right.
I don't want nobody beating me.
Right.
Okay. And I, you know, if I'm your brother or your sister, I don't want you slapping me either.
Uh-uh.
That don't mean that we won't have heated words and it might go there. But the truth of the matter is, if I'm doing what Messiah said, then I'm not going to hit you back first. I'm going to be like, I know you didn't hit me. And if you come keep swinging after the second, third swing, then, yeah, it'd probably be on. Because the bottom line is, then I'm defending myself.
Right.
And if we need a cool down period, and we need to as the scripture says, we come together and I have an ought against you. Brother, why'd you swing on me? What just made me so mad when you said X, Y, Z? Or when you accused me of this and I didn't do it? And you wouldn't let it go. And you just kept running your mouth. And so I got angry and I started swinging. Or you said something that you didn't even know what offended them.
Right.
And they start swinging. Because that was their nature. Hey, it's on. But then when they find out, hey, you didn't even know that you offended them. It wasn't meant that way.
Right.
Then all of a sudden now we can, what, reconcile?
Right.
And come back together and more than likely be stronger if we truly forgive. Because forgiveness, go ahead, my sister.
It do make you stronger.
Yeah, especially if you truly, what, forgive?
If you truly forgive.
Yeah, if one of us is harboring hard feelings, and we're just saying,
right.
You know, we're just saying, yeah, you know, let's forgive and forget, but they don't really forgive, then you're not going to grow from that because they're going to always be, what, harboring those hard feelings.
Right.
And the first time something else comes up, it's going to be a trigger.
Jump right out.
Right. It's going to
yeah.
be a trigger. So, you know, forgiveness is really for... not the one who offended, but the one who is offended. The one who is offended, who has been offended, has to forgive or else they'll keep harboring those hard feelings.
Yeah. I have to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
All right. Okay. How much of this that we got left? All right, we got about 20 minutes of this left. It's 8:15. We're at 2 hours. We'll pick it back up here next week. Because what I want to do and what we've been doing is what? Pausing this and discussing what's being said.
Yes.
And I want to maybe go back over some things that were said and discuss it as a group because that's how we would learn. And it also tells us, you know, it's okay to believe what you believe and how you believe it because that's really where you're at, right?
Right.
That's really where you're at. So you might as well, you know, just state that's where I'm at. Because, that, again, it's how we grow. It's how we grow. You know, we're not all at that, what, level of perfection. We don't
yeah.
handle everything perfectly. We don't say everything perfectly. We don't do everything, what, perfectly.
Right.
But are we supposed to be striving for that?
Yes.
So we have to be striving for it and trying to get there. And the only way to strive for it and try to get there is to actually, what, do it.
Do it.
You know, it's like in a relationship, if you don't talk things out and if you're not, you know, open, then you will allow things to fester. Something really bothering you and you allow it to fester and then it will grow into something more than what it was. You will turn a molehill into a
mountain.
Right. Something that you can't get over. Okay, and so we are to seek peace and pursue it. We are not to be trying to break the laws of the Most High nor the laws of the land unless the laws of the land contradict the Most High. Other than that, we are to subject ourselves and do what they say do. Okay.
I'm back.
All right. Welcome back, Sister Mary.
Thank you.
We are going to stop here for today, for tonight. So we are, well, let me see. Let's do, what time is 8:15? Let's do the 8:30, okay?
Okay.
We'll do that. That's another 12 minutes. At least
okay.
We'll do 12 minutes, and we're going to do either the 12 minutes or if they start another major section,
mm-hmm.
we'll stop there before that major section, okay?
Okay.
Being a nation, that the nation of Israel may be no more in remembrance. America, you are guilty of being the most demonic, evil nation that the world has ever seen. However, no man is able to judge you or punish you for your many sadistic deeds, for you rule the world and have no peer, for no nation can stand against you. However, according to the scriptures, your sins have reached heaven and the stench of your whoredom Yah has smelled. Therefore, your judgment will be swift and your destruction decisive, for Yah's judgment is righteous. Revelation 17, 1 through 5. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication.
Okay. What do the waters represent?
Peoples.
People. Okay. And what they are, well, what they're selling in this video, as far as I said, as far as America goes, do we think that America is the only one that's ever done this?
No.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Well,
I don't either.
We could actually go look up the history of other countries.
Yeah.
You will find that they have done what America has done and more. Okay. So is there a special judgment coming for this country? I do believe that it is. But I believe that it is because of, let's go to... Go to Isaiah chapter 14. Now, I told you guys I wouldn't teach this morning because of certain things, right?
Right.
Go to Isaiah chapter 14. And I think I will teach this during the official Black History Week. Or month, February.
Uh-huh.
But, okay, everybody in, I got it up on the screen. Because, as I said, there's some things that the Gentiles need to know. That they don't teach this. For Yah will have mercy. And everybody with me?
Yes.
Okay. For Yah will have mercy on Jacob. And you will yet choose who?
Israel.
And set them in their own land, and the stranger shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. So let me reread this and say what he's saying. And Yah will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set us in our own land, and the stranger shall be joined with us. Okay? So he's going to take Jew and Gentile and make one new Israel, okay?
Right.
But you're going to see something here. And they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. They, the Gentiles, shall cleave to who?
The house of Jacob.
And the people shall take them and bring, and the people, the Gentiles, shall take them, Israel, and bring them to their place. Not to the Gentiles' place, but bring us back into where? Israel.
To our land.
Right. And the house of Israel shall what?
Possess their land.
No. Read that, my sister. Don't guess at what it's saying.
Possess them in the land of Yah.
For what?
For service and handmaids.
Did they ever tell you?
Take them captive.
Did they ever tell you that in church?
No.
And the people shall take them, Gentiles, and bring them, and the people, the Gentiles, shall take Israel and bring Israel to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them, the Gentiles, in the land of Yah for servants and for handmaids. And they shall take them captive. Whose captives they what?
They were.
They were.
And they shall rule over their what?
Impressive.
Now, Yah is going to do this because they went too far, okay? Go to Amos chapter 9. The book of Amos chapter 9. All right, so let's look and see what Yah is saying. Now, he's talking about Israel here. We're going to start in verse 8, okay?
Okay.
Are you guys with me?
Yes,
we are.
Okay. Amos 9 and 8. Behold, the eyes of Yah are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith Yah. I'm going to destroy this nation, but I'm not going to utterly destroy who?
The house of Jacob.
He's going to save a remnant, okay? Because if he utterly destroyed the house of Jacob, they would be as Sodom and Gomorrah, okay?
Mm.
For lo, I will command and I will sift the house of Israel where?
Among all the nations.
So I'm going to destroy the nation of Israel, and I'm going to sift the inhabitants among all the nations. Like as corn is sifted in a sieve, a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. Shall what?
That by the sword.
Which say that evil shall not overtake us, nor prevent us, right? All those who don't believe that the Most High was going to do this. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins and I will build it as the days of old that they may possess who?
The remnant.
Of who?
Of Edom.
And who else?
And of the heathen.
Which are what?
Call by my name, said Yah, that does this.
So, let me read this in its fullness for you. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, this is the time, and will close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as the days of old, that they, Israel, may possess the remnant of Edom, and all who? The heathen, which are what?
Called by my name.
Can't get into the kingdom unless you're called by his name, that you've been saved by him. All those nations that held us captive as slaves, we read in Isaiah that we will possess them as what? Handmaidens and servants?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they have to be called by what?
The Father's name.
By his name. Whose name are they going by? Whose name do they claim today? In order to get into the kingdom, whose name do they say you got to be baptized in?
The name of Yeshua.
There you go. Which are called by my name. Now, if they are called by his name, but they're going to be possessed by Israel. This is the heathen and Israel, the Edomite. The Edomite is your what? Is he your brother?
Yes, he is.
Okay, but he did some things that Yah says he's going to cause them that have that spirit to be a possession as well. Okay. Which are called by my name, says Yah, that doeth it. So all of the Gentiles who are entering into the kingdom that hold to Jacob, will be taken as what? Possession.
Right.
Do you think that if they knew that if they were called by his name, they were going to be a possession, that they would follow him? Just move the thought. Just food for thought, okay? You won't hear this talk in the church. You sure not going to hear it taught in a Gentile church.
No, so they don't even go in Amos and
Revelation.
They don't go in none of these books.
But it is written already, right?
Yes, it is. They don't go in Hosea, none of them.
Okay. So understand that these are things that the Gentiles should what know?
Right.
But they don't. These are things that, now Israel knows this, but Israel, reason why I don't like to teach it, because then it has a tendency to puff Israel up. You're going to be my slave. You ever heard them say that?
I've heard that.
Okay. They're living for.
They're living for the wrong thing.
Correct. Because the first thing you're supposed to be doing is seeking what?
The Father
and seek peace. Okay. Seek peace and pursue it.
Amen.
It's the Most High that's going to, he says, it is, what does it say at the end of verse 12? It says, Yah that was, that is what?
Doing this.
I'm doing this. Not you, Israel. But we've been trying to make people our what? Our slaves?
Right.
But Yah says, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do this because they went too far. You, that they weren't supposed to do. They treated you in some way they weren't supposed to treat you.
Amen.
So because they did that, I'm going to do this. Those who held you as captives will become, you will become their what?
Captive.
You'll become their captive. And they will serve you as handmaidens and hand servants, bond maidens and bond servants. But you won't be able to treat them like they treated you.
No.
Because that would be what? Unrighteous?
It would be.
And the Most High won't let you do that. He won't let us do that. And this is what those brothers want to do.
Yep, they want to render evil for evil.
For evil. No, the Most High says, you know what? They're going to go into captivity. And they're going to feel exactly what you felt. But they're not going to, they're going to feel that they are servants and bondsmaids, but in a righteous way. They won't be able to hold an accusation coming in on their women and raping them.
Right.
They won't be holding an accusation on you that they are cutting you, you know, cutting off your feet. You're cutting off their feet with an axe because they tried to run. They won't have to
hang you up in a tree.
Right, hang you up in a tree. You won't be able to do that to them. If they break the law and the law calls for their death, they will receive what? The penalty of the law?
Right.
Just like you will receive the penalty of the law.
Absolutely.
Everything has to be done in what? Righteousness. So I know that if they knew that the scripture says all those that were, all the heathen, and the heathen is anybody who doesn't believe the way that the Most High says, okay? You're heathenistic. The Gentile nations are always considered what? To be what? Heathen. So he says that they may possess Edom and how many of the heathen?
A remnant.
Mm-mm.
All of them.
All of them.
All of the heathen.
All of the heathen. All of the heathen that are what?
Called by my name.
All those that say that they believe in Messiah.
Right.
And then didn't do what he said to do.
Right. So in other words, the brothers that's out there talking about their Hebrews and what they're going to do to the white people and all this, that's who he's talking about, right?
No, this is that Edom.
Oh.
Remember, Edom is not really, you can't tell who Edom is today because people have made what, the white man Edom?
Yeah.
They have made the Ashkenazi Jew Edom.
Right.
That means that the Ashkenazi, it is, they don't even consider him to be their what, brother?
Right. But Brother Miles, it says that the remnant of Edom and all the heathens which are called by my name. So who is the heathen that's called by his name?
All the Gentile nations.
Okay. Hello.
All the Gentile nations.
Okay. Thank you.
They can't get into the kingdom without being saved and righteous too. Nobody enters into the kingdom without accepting the Most High.
Amen.
Not the servant, not the saint.
Amen.
That's why it says, all those that are, when, you got to ask yourself, when would Edom or the Gentiles ever be called by his name? Were they called by his name in the past?
No.
No, they were not. So he's telling you that all of them that come into salvation, that enter into salvation and not the right way, who held his people captive, this is what's going to happen to them.
Okay. Okay, thank you, bro.
So, you know, but this is not something for you to go and what? Become puffed up about?
Right.
So let's do this. Where is that at? This is like for the 30th. Here is that word where it says, and all of the heathen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at that word in the actual Hebrew, okay?
Okay.
Goy. All right, that's what the word is in the Hebrew.
Cool.
Goy. Rarely shortened, goy, apparently from the same root as H-1465, in the same sense of massing, a foreign what?
Nation.
Hence, a who?
Gentile.
Also figuratively a troop of animals or a flight of locusts. Gentile, heathen, nation, people. Talking about the Gentiles who held us as captives, they will become, you will become their what?
They oppress.
Right. Well, we don't be allowed to oppress them. They
well,
oppress
we become
us. We become
master.
We become their master. Because the Most High appointed a certain time for this, and they knew what the law said. Okay.
Right.
And instead of releasing us after 7 years, they made laws to keep us what? Slaves for what?
Forever.
That was their intent. Perpetual slavery. You went too far. And then you did things to my people that I didn't authorize you to do.
No, I'm not done.
So we understand, you understand that the heathen is the who?
Gentile.
The Gentile. Okay. So when I teach this, then I will show you that he does this because they went too far.
Okay.
So that, you know, I don't want you just to believe it because Brother Miles said it is, that's why he tells you that vengeance is his. Don't take it into your own hands. He says, I'm gonna bring everybody into what? Judgment?
Yeah, what do you say?
And you don't mess with. What the Gentile nations already know is you don't mess with the Most High's possessions. And it's actually in the script. I think I brought this up before. I told you guys to research it. And we'll stop after this. Is it a sin for the Hebrew Israelite to have a slave?
No.
Is it a sin for a Hebrew Israelite to be a slave of another people?
Hmm. gonna let y'all take that.
I'm gonna let y'all chew on that for the next week. See, you're not being taught what's actually there, okay? And the Most High, what belongs to Him belongs to Him.
Amen.
And the world is not authorized. If the Most High sends us into captivity, it's until we what, repent?
Right.
And then He brings us back out. Right. He's always coming what, gotten us?
Yes, He has.
Okay. In this captivity, He says this captivity would last until He comes back, until He brings in the number of the Gentiles that He wants to bring in. Until the time for the Gentiles be what? Fulfilled.
Fulfilled.
Okay. So He's going to bring in a certain number of them, and they are also going to do certain things. Okay. And that will culminate with His return. Now, what they do, He's going to hold them accountable for, just like He held, what, Israel accountable?
Yeah.
And you don't just do, I think I need to teach that lesson that way. You don't just do with the Most High's possession and treat it how you want to treat it. I don't care who you are.
Man.
That is the lesson in the scriptures. You go, you know what, go and look at every nation that conquered Israel, okay? That the Most High sent in to conquer Israel because He was the one punishing Israel, all right?
Right.
And see when those kings up, what happened to them.
Huh.
See what happened to them and see what the Most High did. Don't brag about you punishing my people. Don't brag about you conquered them. Because I'm the one sending you in there. It's not something that you did on your own. So I gave you guys this assignment, I think, a year or two ago about the question is it illegal? Is it illegal according to the laws of the Most High? Is it illegal for another nation to possess you as a slave? I'll let you guys chew on that and look that up for yourself.
Okay.
There was supposed to be another question. And I don't know when I told you had to have the answer to it. I don't even remember what the question was.
Who told the lady at the well that she was a...
Oh, that's right.
That
she was a Hebrew Israelite?
Nope. That Yeshua was the Messiah.
Yeah. All right. Anybody find out who told them that? Who told her
well,
that?
Well, I know her father, Jacob, for one, because she mentioned him.
Okay, but who told her about that Messiah? That who told her that Messiah was coming? Because Jacob wasn't alive. Jacob had been dead. Where did she hear the prophecy from?
From her forefathers, because they had to tell them on down the line. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right. Amen.
And then Messiah himself told her at the well who spoke.
Okay. That's logical and it's possible. Anybody else look it up?
No, I can't say that I did.
All right. We're going to give y'all a zero. Give the paper back with an F on it. Sister Mary, you get a C.
Oh, thank you.
Uh, All right, y'all still got till Tuesday to do that. I'm not going to say what the answer is yet. Okay. That's what that's when that question was asked.
Okay.
To look it up, who actually told her? And I'm not saying that you're wrong, Sister Mary. I'm not saying that you're right. You got to wait till Tuesday.
All right.
So go ahead and continue to, if you want to continue looking into it, you can.
I am.
But at least you did look. I don't know what to say for the rest of y'all.
Ha ha, I left y'all by yourself.
I get an F, but we can make up work.
I still got to work on that testing site. that's where the proof in the pudding would come out. Yeah, and it's up and running. I just haven't, you know, given it to you guys yet. I haven't created the test from these lessons. But yeah. Who told the woman at the well about Messiah? And Sister Mary has her thoughts on it that she's looked up. At least I think she looked them up. At least it is plausible. But then, is it the correct answer?
Well, I don't know. I got to see.
You know, C for effort, okay? I can't give you the same grade I get the ones that didn't even do it.
Right.
All right. So I hope that you take the time to look it up. It will, believe it or not, I read it to you guys last week.
You probably did.
I did. I did it intentionally to see if you would pick up on it.
Okay. I'm gonna get this A.
Amen.
I'm going back on the book.
Yeah, I read it to you last week, so that you couldn't say you never heard it.
Right.
And I was just to see if you were picking up on, you know, what the question was. Oh, wait a minute, that's what Brother Miles asked us.
Right.
But it is not blatantly out there, okay? You got to actually think about the question, and you got to think about what's going on.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's not going to just come out and just say that, okay?
Right.
All right, with that being said, Sister Mary, pray us out, please.
Dear precious Father, I thank you. Thank you so much for this enjoyable class that we just had. I just enjoyed this so much. Thank you. And please, if it be your will, heal Sister Lorraine's nephew, that you get the glory. In
Jesus'
name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so we will meet again next Sabbath evening. We will pick up with the last part of this video. Again, I should have been doing it all along, certain things that they say, you know, pause the video and let's talk about it.
Uh-huh.
And go into the scriptures. They said they have a lot of truth, and then they have some things that are just not true, okay? Partial truth. The partial truth can get you in what, trouble?
Yes, it can.
And so, you know, I didn't want to let certain things just go because people say, oh, Brother Miles believes like that too. No. If it's contrary to scripture, I'm not going to ever let nobody say that words were put into Messiah's mouth and somebody wrote his words into the scripture and was using it to, like, control us. No. Can prove that by what Torah before what Messiah is always quoting from. All right, that being said, may the Most High bless all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep His commandments, saints. Shalom. And enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom.
And you too.
All right, amen. And let me see if anybody, I think Brother Gary hung up. Where is that at? I know I didn't close it already. There it is. All right. So roll the credits, Brother Miles. Your evening.
Good evening.